Hear the witness of the word. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12.
You are listening to Christian Radio.
Christian Radio.
It's time now to gather around for the Expounder Ministries radio Bible teaching program, Walking in Simplicity, with your host, Brother Stephen Milhorn. Brother Stephen, an ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, welcomes you to a time of prayer and ministry of the Word. At the close of today's program, an address will be given to contact Brother Stephen. And now, let's seek the Lord for a taste of that wonderful manna that can only come from God's Holy Scriptures.
Hallelujah to God Almighty in the highest, and peace from God, love from God, mighty salvation, which only comes by the will of the Father, who has sent the Word of God down from heaven, the Son of God, Jesus, Yeshua, salvation from sin, salvation from death, from hell and the grave, is already paid for by God Himself. He is the one who purchased salvation. He is the one who receives you, who accepts you, who forgives you of all your sins, your errors, your mistakes, your transgressions, your disobedience, your rebellion, and mine as well. No man can work his way to heaven. Only God provides the way. Only God paid the way. And those who seek eternal life to live forever do so by following God, believing in Him, having faith in Him. Heavenly Father, we praise You. We thank You for all that You have done. And it is only through You that we receive, not earn, not merit, not achieve, but only through You do we receive this mercy, do we have this hope of eternal life, that our sins may be remitted by the blood of the Lamb Jesus. Repentance must come, and faith also must come. Oh, dear God, we trust in You, not in ourselves. Your Word commands that we obey Your Word, that we sanctify our lives unto You, to resist sin, the Adamic flesh sin nature, to not be a friend of this world, but to draw closer to You. And Heavenly Father, we are in the last days. We live in uncertain times, and we need to know that we are connected to the branch, to the vine, Jesus Christ. We need to know that we are in You of a truth, and that our faith is not in vain. So Heavenly Father, as we navigate these last days before Your return or before the death of our body, we want to know and be assured of that we are in You, in the covenant, that we have a steady hope of eternal life with the Son of God, Jesus. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters, to the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen. And today, we need to know, we need to do more than just ponder what shall become of us after this life is over. After the body dies, are we on the right path to God and His promises of eternal life? So, my beloved brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves how we know we're on that narrow road. Do we love God with all of our hearts? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? This is an ongoing thing. We cannot be ruled by our emotions. We must believe what the Bible says. Do we have God in all of our thoughts? Are we God-conscious throughout the day? Do we hunger and thirst for His righteousness? Which means we want to do good from the heart, because that's what God wants. That's why we are to crucify the flesh Every day, do we forsake the ways of the world and seek to sanctify ourselves, to set ourselves apart unto the kingdom of God, unto God Himself? What about unforgiveness? The Lord has commanded us to forgive others. Do we have bitterness or anger or resentment in our hearts? Are we able to forgive others their trespasses, even as God has forgiven us? What about our heart condition towards other people? Do we have a thought or care for the poor, for the widow, for the fatherless or orphan? Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, these things that we ask of ourselves, to know that we're on that narrow road, loving God, having Him in all of our thoughts, sanctifying ourselves, having a care for other people, to love and to forgive. What about a regular time of Bible study? What about our singing unto God, our worship, our prayer life? Sometimes we're strong in one area and weak in another, but we need to be a complete Christian man or woman. We need to trust God that He will work all these things in us as we follow Him. What about the simple message of the gospel of Jesus, the good news, who Jesus is, what He has done? He is God Almighty, the Word of God, who proceeded forth from the Father and was sent down to earth to live, to demonstrate, to obey, to give His life as a ransom for many, yea, to all who will come. And He shed His innocent blood, both in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as He was beaten, and as He was plucked and pierced, crowns upon His head. He bled everywhere, not only on the cross, but especially the obedience of the cross, where He was to give His life to the Father on our behalf, so that His blood, which is innocent, which is sin-free, which is guiltless, may be offered on our behalf. For those of us who want to seek forgiveness from God, we can only receive it through faith in His blood, because His blood, that's where the life is, and His blood was pure and sin-free, not tainted by Adam, not tainted by sin. And the Father accepted the blood of Jesus for a once and for all atonement. No more sacrifice for sin can be offered. No lambs or bulls or goats. No magical words over an altar in a Catholic church. Only the blood of Jesus, which was shed once and for all men. So the good news, the gospel, is that Jesus came down from heaven to set sinners free and to open the doors of heaven, that mankind may enter into life, which the angels which fell have no chance at. So how do we know that we're on that narrow road, my beloved? Do we even believe the basics of the faith, even the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed, about the cross, about the resurrection of Jesus, which opens the way for us? Do we believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell and of judgment to come? Do we believe in the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, communion, that spiritual act that we do when we remember Him? Do we feel the Spirit of God on the inside of us, both speaking to us and convicting us when we sin? Are we even grieved when we sin? Do we run from God, or do we confess to Him our sins and iniquities? Have we been born again? Have we been water baptized? These are all the things that we should check ourselves on in our journey of the narrow road, which the Lord Himself says that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many people, the majority of people, will go in thereat, because narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Do people really want to be born again, His Spirit and your spirit? Do we want to resist the world, the flesh and the devil, and the condemnation that sinners will bring? Do we want to resist our body's inclination to sin? Do we want to crucify the flesh and be in subjection to God? These may seem like hard questions, but we need to ask ourselves so that we know that we're on that narrow road, that His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Is the Word of God in your heart? Have you allowed Him to graft His Word inside of you, obeying His Word, His commandments, His precepts, His ordinances, and to embrace the will of God, no matter what it is? Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, I mentioned earlier about the Apostles' Creed. For some reason this past year, I have really gravitated towards meditating upon it, for it contains the basic central truths of God's will for us, how that we believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Now the Father Almighty is the all in all, and He commanded the Son, the Word of God Jesus, to create the heaven and the earth, and all things that are made, from earth to the outer universe, even heaven itself. All things that were made by the Son of God Jesus, including the angels, which were made perfect, but then iniquity was found in them because of their own free will. But we believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, who is our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. In other words, the Scripture says, the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, and the deposit of the Lord was placed in her womb, supernaturally, spiritually, not with any physical contact, by a man. And like some religions believe, that the Father came down and had literal sex with Mary. This is all wrong. This is against Scripture. This is blasphemy by the Mormons. So the Lord was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not the seed of Adam, but the seed of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary. She knew not a man, so she had no prior children, no prior contact. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Now what this does, my beloved, this puts a historical timestamp on the life of Jesus, because Pontius Pilate was a real person in real time, and it was his way to crucify criminals. It was the Roman way, and Jesus was crucified in his physical body, and his physical body died, not his spirit. He did not spiritually die, as some heretics preach. Only his body died, and his body was buried. He descended into hell, or Hades, or the lower parts of the earth. But that was not to suffer. That was not to take your hell for you. That was for him to demonstrate his authority over death, hell, and the grave. He preached to the souls that were down in hell. And he also led all those that were in Abraham's bosom from that paradise side that was in the bowels of the earth at that time. And he led captivity captive and brought all those souls up into heaven, so that those that are in the center of the earth now are truly there because they're in hell. So he did descend into the lower parts of the earth, but it was to complete the mission of bringing those people from Adam to Jesus unto God in heaven. The third day he arose again from the dead, because death could not hold him. He was righteous. He had not sinned. His blood was alive. Only the body died, in demonstration that we also likewise must go through the same regeneration as he did. And after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. So as he sits, my beloved, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He speaks unto the Father on our behalf, and he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. He is both judge and savior. It is he who decides who goes to heaven and who goes unto the fires of hell. He wants his people to be holy. It's not too late for those of you who do not know God to repent and to come to the Son of God Jesus to receive eternal life. He alone can make a person clean again. So he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, or the Assembly of the Saints, the communion of saints, that we are all in this together as his body. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, because he has forgiven us. we are to forgive one another. We also believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. And in regards to the resurrection of the body, do we not see it in nature? We have spring, summer, winter, and fall. We have morning, noon, and night, and back to morning again. In the spring, we're young. In the summer, we're vibrant. In the fall, we are aging. And in the winter, we are aged and then die. But then spring comes again. Hinduism and the occult will try to use this concept for their false heresies about living over and over again in many lives, many bodies, karma, all of that, which is unbiblical. And not only unbiblical, it is willfully false and damnable. So the resurrection of the body, the Lord has promised both who are justified and who are condemned. All the people who have ever lived will be raised again from the dead, some to everlasting life, but the majority to everlasting condemnation in the lake of fire. So my beloved brothers and sisters, we are trying to discern and we are asking ourselves how we know that we're on that narrow road. Do we love God and our neighbor? Is God in all our thoughts? Do we hunger and thirst for His righteousness? Are we sanctified? Do we have a tender heart for other people, the poor, the widow and orphan? Do we read His Word? Do we worship Him? Do we pray? Do we even know the basics of the good news of Jesus and the doctrines that we just covered in the Apostles' Creed, the purity of Jesus, who He was and is, what He did for us, and our faith in Him, knowing that He is God Almighty, being of the Father, and He promises to us, by His shed blood, the resurrection of our bodies. So my beloved brothers and sisters, there is no Christian who is perfect. There is not one of us who are sin-free, but we must know and have a heart towards God, to be washed, to be cleansed by His blood, to pray to Him regularly. What did the Lord say unto the disciples as He was about to leave them in John chapter 16, verse 7 and onward? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, to dwell inside of us, to guide us, to lead us, to chasten us. He reproves the world of sin because they have rejected Jesus, who is their only hope of eternal life. And He also raised the Lord Jesus from the dead because He was righteous. And He also brings judgment to the prince of this world, the devil. Then the Lord went on to say, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and show it unto you. So both the Word of God Jesus and the Holy Spirit share in the Bride of Christ, which means the Spirit of God will indwell us forever. We are His property, His purchased possession. Oh, the depths and the goodness and the love of God, His foreknowledge, His good heart to us, that He gives us a way to be saved, to be brought into right standing with Him. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 and onward, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So you see, my beloved, the redemption is not in our own good works, our own achievements or merit, the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God the Father hath set forth to be a propitiation, in other words, the substitute, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So the Lord justifies us when we have faith in his finished work. And the Father has already accepted Jesus as that substitutionary atonement through faith in the pure, sinless blood of Jesus. So the Lord Jesus is the judge. He is just before the Father, and he then justifies us who come to him that believe in the Son of God, Jesus. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, what good news this is. How do we know we're on that narrow road when we have faith, when we have all of our hope and love and trust in him, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:12 and onward. Speaking of Jesus in verse 13, who hath, meaning past tense, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, meaning Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And that total package, my beloved, includes not only the forgiveness of your sins, but also the resurrection of our body, and the giving of a new body to us, an eternal body, one that will never die. And verse 15 goes on to say, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, meaning Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now verse 17, my beloved, should be our heart's attitude towards him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, not an American pastor, not the Pope. No man on earth is the head of the church, because in verse 18 it says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence of our hearts, our thoughts and devotion, our worship, our sanctified lives. So when we think about all these things, my beloved, we may know whether or not we are on that narrow road. Does the Lord dwell inside you? Do you feel bad when you sin? Do you have a heart towards God? Is he in all your thoughts? Oh, Heavenly Father, we declare that we love you, and that you are righteous, and that we need you every day in this life, and not only this life, but in eternity to come. We will still be dependent upon you. We will not be sovereign. We will not be independent. We will not rebel against you. You are the Lord. You are God. And we hope in you. We trust in you, that you will be with us all the days of eternity. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, the times that we're living in, as we see the slow collapse of America, she is imploding in on herself. The rebellious left has rejected God. Those that are ruling over us have rejected God, and they are leading our nation into a communist model. And it's my personal belief that they've taken bribes, that they've gotten rich, that they have received money from foreign entities that want to take down our nation. And America is so saturated with sin and selfishness and the rejection of God that they seem to be laying down and just taking it. What do they care if they have a new master ruling over them? They've already rejected God. And now we're seeing it played out in real time. And it's quite disturbing. But thank God for the reversal of Roe v. Wade. But that's only a good first step. That only means that it goes back to the states, of which some states can still kill their babies, and other ones, they can preserve life. But let us not forsake our prayer for the unborn. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we rejoice in the small gains we've made in our government to preserve life, but we need to abolish all abortion, save the life of the mother. All abortion should be banned. All abortion should receive a recompense of punishment. Dear God, we pray unto you that you would show the people in the Senate and the Congress and the judicial branch and the executive branch that the taking of human life in the womb is an abomination in your sight. It is the shedding of innocent blood, of which our nation is saturated and soaked in the blood of babies, 60 million or more, and there will be an answer from God. Have mercy, O God, have mercy. Lead us into the way that we should go, O Heavenly Father, by your Son and Spirit. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, sometimes it may be difficult for you to spell Expounder Ministries and to go to the webpage. So I've made a new website address, which is the same thing as Expounder Ministries, and it's called SermonDepot.com, and I house all my sermons there. So just remember, www.sermondepot.com. Select a sermon and select a sermon have been taken offline. So expounderministries.com or sermondepot.com all leads to the same website. And for today, how we know we're on that narrow road. It is a heart condition. It's also involving your mind, your soul, your will, and your emotions, how that you govern over your body as well. And you need to think hard on this, my beloved, that if the Lord created hellfire for the devil and his angels, how he is serious about sin, and men and women who choose to follow the flesh, the world, and the devil will end up where he ends up, and also the lake of fire. So take heed to the narrow way, the narrow road. Stay on that road. It is not by the works of righteousness which we do, but it's his will for us and his command to us that we sanctify ourselves and have faith in the risen Son of God and his shed blood. Think hard on all these things, my beloved, and mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
Chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for joining me today in the broadcast. If you would like more information about the ministry, you may go to www.expounderministries.com, and there you can find a weekly sermon, many of my past Radio Bible teaching programs, my books, and my recordings of the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And remember, God sent His Son that you may live. Believe on Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. The time is short, my beloved. Come back to God before it is too late. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.